Amen. He's a good father. Amen. I've got some guys who are going to help me this morning. And I have in my hand something that we want to put in your hand. It's called The Unfinished Task. It can be done. That's the theme for our faith promise. Here at Connecting Point, we believe in missions not only across the street, but around the world. And every year, we have our faith promise emphasis. This year, we're going to have the privilege of having Greg and Leslie Garman with us. This is the son to Larry Garman, missionary for, just decades and decades in the Church of the Nazarene. Greg spent a lot of time on the field. He's now the district superintendent of the L.A. district. He'll be here with his wife. Greg is an okay speaker, but his wife is off the hook. Yeah, she's a little bit on the crazy side. And Leslie knows I can say that about her. We've been friends a long time. However, guys, come. We want every household to have at least one of these books. If you're single, you're a household, and we want you to take that with you. What this booklet is for, it's been prepared for you so that from now until Faith Promise Sunday on, what is it? Good. March 20. Come on, Johnny, help me out back there. 26. Okay, until Faith Promise Sunday, this is a devotional that has been prepared by Martha Lundquist, our district NMI president, also wife to Dale. That's her claim to fame there. But this will allow you to have a moment of reflection as you prepare your heart and what you would allow or God would challenge you to give in the coming year. So inside, also, you'll find a lot of different facts about missions. In the Church of Nazarene, 159 world areas, 706 missionaries, 327 missionary kids deployed in 50 world areas, 5 graduate seminaries, 30 undergraduate Bible schools, 14 liberal arts institutions, 2 nursing training schools, 1 teacher training school, all the rest of it. And then our own local emphasis there at the bottom of the page. So enjoy that, will you? The task, it can be done. Though it's unfinished, we plan on finishing it as God will give us the resources. Amen? Amen. And thank you for what's that? And we are printing more. If you did not get one, we will make sure. I'll sell you mine for 10. And we'll get more in and prepared for you. That's a good thing to run out. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're ready to turn to the Word of God and see what it says to us. That's the one thing we can be sure of. Every time we open the Bible, God is and will speak to us. When I hear somebody say, I just don't get fed when I go to church, you got to open your mouth, come to the table, and pick up the fork. Amen? Oh, yeah, that was good. You didn't even know it. You know, you sit down to dinner, you got to pick up the food. You got to eat. All right? So, take your Bible, whether it's electronic or whatever. We're going to be in the Word all through it. In our journey here of 2 Thessalonians, we've been discovering what God desires in our church. As we get into this second chapter, we see some references that to events that are going to happen before the coming of Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you that this world is going to begin to implode just before Jesus comes? There's just some all incredible things that are going to happen. If you read the first 12 verses of that second chapter, you'll hear and you'll understand as the lawless one or the sinful one comes and begins to set himself up as a final word on religion here in our world, including identifying himself as the one true God. Now, we know that's not going to work. The whole world, it says, is going to be deceived. How many believe that we're on the deceiving issue right now? Our world is a deceived issue. Absolutely. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to leave it right there because I have a special friend I want to introduce to you. So everybody, just stay calm. All right? If I can have the bakers come at this point. Come on down, guys. I gave them a warning, and they didn't leave, so that meant it's okay. They thought I was kidding. You know, it's when you tell people, we're going to bring you up front, introduce a new one, and then they leave. You shouldn't have asked them, but hey. All right. Wow, look at it. Shh, she's asleep, so we're going to keep it that way.
Yeah, you say her to sleep.
Oh, no problem. We'll do it every Sunday. Okay, Dad, test time. You ready?
No.
Okay.
I'll whisper.
You will? Okay, you can help. You can help. Okay, full name?
Landry Noel Baker.
Landry Noel Baker. And date born?
12/14/16.
Great. How long?
20.
Just over 2 months.
Just over 20.
No, how tall? Late? 20.
Yeah. 20. You guys going to go with 20? Is your final
20,
answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Final answer. 20. I love it. And how many pounds?
Oh, this one we know. 7'2".
7'2". What a beautiful baby girl. And she's asleep. We just want to say, guys, congratulations. We're so glad for God's blessing in your life, and you're just part of our family, and now so is she. And we'll just leave her asleep so you can enjoy the rest of the service. But give them a hand, will you? Congratulations, Dad. God bless you, baby. Congratulations. Ah, yeah, like that. So we look at this. You say, Pastor, you're kind of random, aren't you? Well, I keep you on your toes when I do it that way. If you're unpredictable, then we got problems. Well, now, so you got this deception that's occurring in our world. And so you look at a chapter. Remember I told you last week about sometimes you come across these truths in the Bible and you're kind of like, oh, that's a tough one to preach. And last week we kind of covered one of those. And first part of this chapter is kind of like that as well. But as we look at this chapter, we say, what is the message for us as Christians? Well, first of all, we do need to be aware of the enemy. There is an enemy. Did you know that? There is a battle that's going on for your soul, my soul, and this world. And as we come to the last five verses of this chapter, it ends with this incredible statement about who God is and who we are and the confidence that we have in him. These are just great words, if you will, to help us, assist us in staying the course or staying on course in our walk with the Lord, even in these difficult, difficult days. We realize that we battle not, Paul said it this way, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against forces of darkness. And there it works most definitely. As we come to these final verses, which will be our focus this morning, I want to show you how to stand firm. I want to show you how Paul says that we should stand firm. So let's stand firm, shall we? Everybody know what it means to stand firm? It means be ready. Are you prepared? If I came up to you right now and pushed you, would you fall over? However, if you're ready, now don't take a fight stance in church, but if you're ready, all right? If you're ready, how do we stand firm? Here we go. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing now on the reading of your word in thy precious name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, how many of you like to do handshakes? Okay. Let's do some handshakes. Handshake, brother. Now that's a handshake. All right, let's get another one. Another handshake. Handshake. How are you? Come on. That's it. How about a handshake, sir? That's a handshake. Ouch, man. Is he a visitor? really hurt. Anyway, how many of you like to shake hands and you get the limp fish? And I just, ugh. Well, a lot of us, if we're not careful, that's exactly how we live our Christian life. We just kind of go through the motion. We just kind of put it out there, okay? And the scripture tells us this morning that we're to do two things, stand firm and keep a firm grip on the things that God has for us. So stand firm. That's a great thought. Keep a grip. That's a great thought. But how in the world do we do that? Well, the first thing we have to do is remember who we are in Christ. Amen? But we ought to always, he said, thank God. We always thank God for you, brothers and sisters. Aren't you glad they didn't leave the ladies out? What does Paul do when he sees the power in those first few verses of the scripture? He sees the power of the darkness and the evil that's coming to our earth. What does Paul do? He gives thanks for the church right off the bat, for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because though Satan is working, amen, though Satan is working in our world, Jesus also is at work. In fact, he said it this way, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The evil one is working, but Jesus also is working. What should you do when you see the world getting darker and the evil getting stronger? Well, the first thing we can do is thank God for the church. Thank God for one another. I don't know about you guys, but I could not make it in this life without every single one of you. You are a strength to me and an encouragement to me. So out of this kind of dark passage at the beginning and the mystery of this evil and sin in our world, Paul launches into one of the most wonderful expressions of thanksgiving for the church and each other in all of the New Testament. And that's where we want to spend our time this morning. I want you to look again at that verse 13 and 14. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So who are we in Christ? As we think about how do we make it through, how do we stay the course in our walk with Christ, the first thing, we need to know who we are in Christ. And number one is, we are loved in Christ. Now say that with me. I am loved in Christ. Ready? Here we go. Oh, yeah. There you go. You didn't want to say it twice, so you did a good time. Get it good the first time. No matter how dark the world, no matter how the situation, the battle is around us, we need to understand God is love. God is just, God's love is more than simply a, compassion. And it's important for us to have compassion. It's important for us to understand that, but it's more than benevolence that we're talking about. It's this incredible truth that the God, the creator of heaven and earth, loves me. God loves me. I love that little song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, we talk and we say this phrase so often that it loses, I think, some of its edge in our life. But there's more than compassion. God dearly loves you. You know, it says to us in life, love, to be loved is good, but to be deeply loved is a great blessing. And folks, this morning, I want you to know, you are deeply loved by God. You didn't hear what I just said. You just sat there when I told you, you are loved by God. Come on now. All right. Try to take that in. God, the creator of heaven and earth, I'm loved by him. You know, one of the things when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to spend eternity trying to get our heads around this amazing wonder of his love for us. But maybe we should start right here and right now. How is it that I can stay the course? I can stay the course because in Jesus Christ, I know that I am deeply loved by God. Folks, when you're going through the difficulties in life, when everybody else seems to abandon ship, can I just tell you, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you even to the end of the age. We are deeply loved. So that's the first thing. In Christ, I am deeply loved. The second thing that our scripture, I think, points out to us that's really cool to me, it says, in Christ, we are chosen. We are chosen. And Paul's writing to, these are just ordinary Christians, by the way. Did you hear? We are chosen. God looked down and he pointed at you and he says, I choose you. I choose you. When you take a hold of life in Christ by faith, it's not long before we know that really he's taken hold of us. We begin to express what Jesus means and when he said, or what he meant when he said to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. The truth is given to us as followers of Christ. That's such a powerful truth, and it's exactly what strengthens us and helps us to stand firm in the most difficult days of our life. I am chosen of God. I'm loved, and I am chosen. Listen, church, let me just share with you. Our confidence does not rest. It does not lie in the fact that I have a strong grip on Christ. The fact is, Christ has a strong grip on me. It's his strong right hand that holds me. In Christ, I'm deeply loved, and in Christ, I'm chosen. The fact that I am being held by that strong right hand, it'll keep me. When I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he says what? The shepherd said what? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So in Jesus Christ, I'm loved, and in Christ, I am chosen. Another thing that comes out of our scripture says that in Christ, I am saved. You look there in verse 13, it says, God chose you to be saved. Now, in case you wondered if you are worthy of salvation, God said it in so many different ways and in so many different places in his word. For God so loved the world, that includes everybody. He said, I would that none should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, God chose us, God saved each one of us. There is not a chosen few. There are not a certain few that are going to experience salvation. To everyone who believes on Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. It's in the scripture. There's no qualifiers, if you will. You know, we saw at the beginning of the chapter how the world is being deceived and refusing to love the truth and delighting in wickedness and under just this powerful delusion and believing a lie that ultimately condemns them. However, God loves us, he chose us, and he chose us to be saved. Well, not only are we loved and chosen and he's provided salvation, but he's also provided sanctification for us in our lives through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in there in verse 13 again. When we come across this word sanctify, many Christians immediately begin to think to themselves, oh, this is one thing I am not. I hear it all the time. This is one thing I am not. We associate that word sanctified with being perfect or saintly. Do we have any saints here this morning? Thank you. The scripture says what? We're all saints. Okay? But don't go getting a necklace or nothing. All right? I don't want anybody coming next week with Neil's face on their necklace. You hear me? But he is a saint. I'm a saint. You're a saint. If you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what makes us a saint. It's not my actions. And when we talk about this idea of sanctification, holiness doesn't make me perfect, except it perfects my love for God. You see, I make a decision in my life. I make this choice in my life that I am going to serve God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what makes me perfect before God. Oh, not my actions. How many have made at least one mistake this week? Wow, there's some who haven't made a mistake. How many of you haven't made a mistake in the last 20 minutes? Now we're getting, it's getting better. Okay. Nobody raised their hand. You guys just don't like to participate. God, I told you that. Hey, listen. We're all going to fall short. But that's what sanctification is all about. It's about that moment in my life when I choose God over everything else. So here's my question. Have you chosen God over everything else? Should we let that sink in just for a second? Have you chosen God over everything else in life? See, that's what helps me perfect my love for God. And when He lives in me and His Holy Spirit lives in my heart, He sets me aside. Now, I'm a visual. How many of you are visual learners? Yeah. Well, I'm a visual learner too. We want to incorporate all the senses in your experience here. If you're new to Connecting Point, we don't do this every Sunday. Now, there are 6 bars here. Now, some of you are already praying for the loaves and fishes thing to happen. All right. So I have 6. See, everybody wants to raise their hand now. All right. Now, you know what? You can have one, but only you, because you're the only one that asked. But anyway, I'm supposed to give these back to the youth group. So there's 6. So I'm going to take 2. Pastor, that's not fair. I think it is. Okay, so these are mine, so you can't have these. These, after service is over, as far as they'll go. Be careful, these are real candles on the table. You know what I just did right here? Do you know what I just did? See, when you think about the word sanctified, there's a couple of meanings that come along that, and that is to be made holy. Now, listen, sanctification, I don't become holy. I'm made holy through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. But I'm also set apart. So you see, I had 6. I took 2, and I set them apart by my choosing. And I have plans for those 2 over there. So I have my candy here. I sanctified, if you will, these candies. I set them apart. And when the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of our life, really gets a hold of everything we are, then what God can do is He can set us aside for His bidding and His plan. I took a hold of them. I took them for myself. And I set them apart. And that's exactly what God desires to do in our lives. He wants to take a hold of us. And He wants to separate us for His use and His plan. Oh, Lord. Lord, help us to be willing to be set aside. It's exactly what God does in Jesus Christ. As I fully surrender to Him. He says this back to me. He says, I claim you for my own. I'm going to reproduce in you the image of my Son. That's crazy right there. That's wonderfully crazy that the Holy Spirit, that God the Father through His Holy Spirit is going to reproduce the image of Christ in my life. All right, we're going to take a vote, and everyone must vote this time. How many of you know and can see that I have the image of Christ? Now, you're going to go, Okay, we all have our, yeah, I'm thinking about that one. But you see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Glory to glory, He does what? He changes me. Makes me more like Him. But He can only do that as I fully surrendered to him. So in Christ, not only am I loved, am I chosen, am I saved, but I am set apart through the power of his Holy Spirit. What greater privilege could there be than that? And folks, listen, this holy life is not for those special people. This holy life is intended for every single one of us. That was his intention from the very beginning. Have you read Genesis lately? God says to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what does he say? Let us what? Create man in what? Our image. That's his plan from the very beginning. Well, so I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm saved, I'm sanctified and set apart, and I'm called. In Christ, I am called. In verse 14, he called you through our gospel. Listen to the agreeing statement that's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the previous letter that Paul wrote to this group of Christians. He said, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, body become blameless or be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and what? He will do it. I don't know about you, but that's one of the greatest promises that I can find in Scripture. We just talked about how God wants to set us apart. We talked about how God wants to sanctify us in our life. And listen, the one who calls you to it will do it. I'm so glad I don't have to make myself holy. It's his Holy Spirit that makes me holy. It's his presence in my life that makes me holy. So many of us, we just kind of make this list. Well, I can't do this, 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 and this. Can I just tell you, I'm meeting with a bunch of guys, and we talk about this idea. Can I just tell you that the more you focus on the sin you shouldn't be doing, the more it just seems to glare at you, right? Amen? So let's quit focusing on the sin, and let's begin to focus on God. Let's begin to focus on his presence in our life. Let's begin to focus on the fact that we're called by him. And guess what? As we allow him, as we focus on him, and there's more of him that comes into our life, what has to happen with those things that are contrary to him? They automatically get pushed out. We're called. It's good news that Jesus died, sacrificed for our sins, that he rose again from the dead to bring us this new life, and God calls us. God calls us. There's still more. There's one more before you can have a candy bar. And that is in Christ Jesus. It says there in the 14th verse, he says, we are glorified. We are glorified. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might share in his glory. What in the world does that have to do with us? What does that mean? Here in the last part of that 14th verse, we see the ultimate outcome of God's redeeming purpose in our lives. And that is what? That we will see Christ's glory here and now. And that we will share in his glory for eternity. For eternity. The whole incredible plan of God, his redeeming purpose in Christ, is set out here in these two verses. Our faith in Christ is that visible fruit of the amazing love, the work that God has begun way before time, flowed down through the cross of Calvary, down through the empty tomb, and is being accomplished through the Holy Spirit in our lives right here today, helping us to stay the course in our life. Do you see this incredible glimpse that we get of the persons of the Trinity here? The Father loves you, and he's chosen you. The Son died for you and rose again to give you life. And the Spirit brought you to faith in Christ and sanctifies you. You see, all three of them at work here in this scripture. All of this God has done with one purpose, that you and I might have eternal life and enjoy the glory of Christ right along with him. That's an incredible, incredible thought. I want you to get this in your head today. I want you this marvelous truth that I've tried to kind of lay out for you. And I want you to say it out loud with me. It's going to be on the screen. I want you to say it out loud with me. And we've talked about it so far. In Christ, I'm going to say in Christ, and I want you to repeat each one as we go down. You ready? Here we go. In Christ, I am loved. In Christ, I am. In Christ, I am. In Christ, I am. In Christ, I am. In Christ, I am glorified. Man. Folks, that's just good news right there. That's just good news that we ought to get excited about. How many of you know that spring training has started? Wow. Yeah. I'm hearing all these folks that are taking trips to go see the spring training. It's so exciting. And baseball's fun, I guess. And I know you're going to misunderstand me. And you baseball fans are going to go out going, I've been judged. No, you haven't. Hey, can we get as excited about Jesus? Can we get excited about the fact that I am loved, I am chosen, I am saved, I am sanctified, I'm called, and I'm glorified in Christ? I think so. I think you can. And we'll hand out mitts and balls and stuff later in the service. So what do we do now? Now that I'm aware of those things, what do I do? You ready? Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Take a stance. Stand firm. No matter what you feel, no matter who you're up against, no matter if you feel completely helpless, no matter if it feels like you're surrounded by darkness everywhere, no matter how intense the battle seems to be, stand firm. Because why? Because in Christ, I am loved, I'm chosen, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm called, and I'm glorified. Breathe in that truth this morning. Just take a deep breath of who you are in Christ. Hear this. Stand firm. Maybe today you feel like you need just kind of that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Let me read verses 16 and 17 to you very quickly. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us an eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Paul teaches here in the scriptures, and then he prays. The two belong together, by the way. Since God loves you, since he chose you, saved you, sanctified you, called you, glorified you, sanctified, since he did all of those things, he brought you to faith, and he destined you to share in God, in Christ's glory, so come before him with confidence. You can come before God with confidence this morning, not in yourself, but you can come with confidence and boldness before God and receive what you need from Christ. In case you kind of get the jitters here, remember who you're coming to and pray in the light of that truth that you might experience his power in your life to stay the course. Look at the incredible direct involvement of Christ. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself encourage your heart. This is that direct, if you will, a direct ministry of Christ is to bring courage and strength to each one of our hearts, even in the most difficult times. So here's my question this morning. Do you need comfort? Then lift your eyes to the cross. The Son of God hanging there for you. All the voices of hell mock him. People scorn him and taunt him. He's definitely the man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. He knows what it is to go through difficult times. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to face the dark powers that we've been talking about. And then think of the great comfort that you can find in Him. Do you need strength? Do you need strength in your life? Then lift up your eyes and look at the empty tomb. Jesus Christ has endured, He's conquered, and He's risen. And He sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and me. That's who we are in Christ. How do I stay the course? I stay the course by realizing I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm called, and I'm glorified in Christ. So here's what I want us to do as we come to this time of reflection. I want you to look at your life and the load around you. Maybe you need that comfort in realizing who you are. Because as I realize who I am in Christ, nothing is impossible with God. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Those are not just good, nice little phrases. Those are the promises of God to us who are in Christ. Bow your heads with me. I want to invite you just to make an altar right there where you're at. Next few moments, I just want you to spend some time talking with God. Lord, I want to stay the course. But I have some real challenges in my life. Help me to realize today who I am in Christ. Children of God, listen. Followers of Christ, listen. The enemy will continually point to the dark things, the difficult things, the times of failure. He would just as soon discourage you. That's his whole job. But right now, I pray that there'll be some of you that who will just realize afresh and anew who I am in Christ. Father God, as we take these moments in prayer, in the quietness of this moment, speak to our hearts, Lord, we pray. I invite you to spend some time with the Lord this morning. All over this sanctuary with our heads bowed. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to stay the course. I just need to be reminded of who I am in Christ. I want you to stand. I'm going to pray for you. Across this whole congregation. Just stand right where you're at. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to be reminded of who I am in Christ this morning. See, we're going to go to prayer and we're going to come against the enemy. we're going to ask God to give us victory this morning. Just before I pray, anyone else? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. You see these that are standing across the sanctuary. And Father, I'm so glad, Lord, that I stand with them this morning. We need to be reminded who we are in Christ when the enemy will come against us. Father, I pray you'd minister to their lives right now. Break the chains that the enemy would have around them of discouragement. Bring them comfort. Bring them wholeness this morning, Lord, in you. Father, we're so glad that the Word of God speaks to us where we live. It speaks to us as we journey down here on this earth to heaven. Lord, this morning, we just thank you for answers to prayer. We thank you, Lord, for encouraging words that we find from you. And Lord, again this morning, can I just say that I'm so glad that I am loved. So glad that I am loved. So glad that I am chosen. So glad that I'm saved, that I'm sanctified, that I'm called. And that I share in the glory of Christ, my Lord. Father, just strengthen us and keep us. May your face shine down upon us, Lord, as we journey out this week. Church, would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we stand together as a church, may we be willing to be the church now this week. Help us, Lord, to pierce the darkness of our world with the hope of Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's sing together.